WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Since 1990, the number of children and adults diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, or ADD, has risen from about 900,000 to nearly 5 million. The drug most commonly prescribed to treat ADD is a stimulant called Ritalin. In this decade, Ritalin use has increased by 700%. Lawrence Diller says this is a problem of epidemic proportions, and one unique to this country, where 90% of the world's Ritalin is used. Diller is a behavioral pediatrician. He evaluates and treats children and teenagers with a wide variety of developmental, learning, and behavior disorders. Back in the 80s, he started noticing more and more parents and adults coming to his office asking about ADD and Ritalin. He also began prescribing the drug more and more. In his new book, Running on Ritalin, Diller examines some of the cultural assumptions that are contributing to the rising use of Ritalin to treat people who don't necessarily meet the exact medical requirements for an attention deficit diagnosis, but who nonetheless are having trouble coping with school or life. I asked Lawrence Diller how he tests his patients for ADD.
Well, I think that's a problem right there. When people say test for ADD, it's implied that somehow there is a test you can run, whether or not it's a blood test, a brain scan, or even a psychological test, and there is no test for ADD, as there is no test for most psychiatric disorders. So the idea is perhaps one evaluates for ADD, and that is actually, if it's done well, is a fairly complicated process because ADD per se is simply a list of behaviors, and the causes of these problems behaviors are quite varied.
I'd like you to tell us about a case of a child that you had trouble diagnosing.
Okay, I'm thinking of Jenny, and she was a 9-year-old girl who really was a real sweetheart of a child. And her parents called me up and said, basically, she's struggling at school. And I asked them, how is she doing at home? And they said, fine, except when we have to do homework, and homework becomes a real bear. And the teacher said, because she does appear to daydream at school, the teacher said, maybe she has ADD. Get her evaluated for ADD. And what struck me is in this one area of being able to read and read quickly enough for her school that she was struggling. And indeed, her coping behaviors could look very much like ADD. And now one would say, well, maybe her primary problem was really a learning disorder and not an attentional problem. But in fact, these two conditions happen very, very frequently. And the bottom line is that medication in the form of a Ritalin might allow her to stick with tasks that are difficult or boring for her. And so at issue here is, you know, do I prescribe her medication? Because the family had gone to some attempts to address this, even though I really didn't see her attentional problems. Certainly she had no hyperactivity and she was barely impulsive as justifying the ADD diagnosis. I think this kind of child is very common these days.
So what happened? Did you prescribe Ritalin or what did you recommend?
I think she did try Ritalin and got some improvement from Ritalin, but eventually the parents found a tutor for her, and that worked out better.
So as you're saying here, and as you write in your book, you sometimes do prescribe this drug even though, even for kids who don't really fit the model for ADD or who you don't believe have ADD, which I guess is using it somewhat as a performance enhancement drug.
Well, I think that I and the family and the child and to some degree the school are all caught in a difficult bind here in terms of our expectations of children these days and what we can offer them. And I know I am not alone in facing this dilemma as a physician in terms of offering children and adults medications, even though they don't meet the exact criteria. There are much larger social issues going on here that in my prescribing Ritalin for this child are hardly being addressed. And unless those larger pictures, larger issues are addressed, then I'm acting in ways that may not, we may help the child on the short term, but may not be entirely ethical, you know, for me and in the long term also.
Let's talk about some of the social pressures, social issues involved in prescribing Ritalin. Do parents pressure you to prescribe the drug because they feel that their child isn't doing as well as the Joneses' little boy down the street who takes Ritalin, so maybe they should try it on their child?
Well, I think that happens, but I want to be clear that I don't think any parent who comes to me, even with the anticipation that they're going to get medication, does that eagerly without some great ambivalence or reluctance. On the other hand, watching their child continue to struggle will often lead them eventually to consider using a medication that in some variety has been used for over 50 years and at least for children seems relatively safe.
When you're presented with a case of a child who doesn't quite fit the definition of ADD, but you obviously know something's going wrong with this child's life and perhaps it's in the home or at school, what do you look for and how do you advise a non-drug treatment for this child?
Well, if the problem is in learning, then I will ask the school to do a closer evaluation or refer them to some outside educational specialist. And that remediation support can take the form of a child getting some extra help in the classroom or just being given more time to complete a task, maybe tutoring after school. If the problem is one within the family, and it doesn't have to be a great problem, it could be simply, again, the parents are not addressing the child's personality in the most appropriate way, it could mean asking the parents to come back for a couple more visits with me or someone equivalent where we go over that. Now, this kind of behavior, ADD, ADHD behavior, can also be reflective of more serious problems in the family, marital problems. An adult is depressed. Perhaps there is some form of drug abuse or physical abuse. Of course, those problems require much greater attention and hopefully would be picked up in evaluation. I think the trouble here is very often Ritalin is the only indication, the only intervention that is followed through with, and that can be a problem. Because what I wanted to get at was, even if Ritalin does work, you asked me if Ritalin works, it does work on the short term. However, I don't believe that Ritalin is the moral equivalent of better schools, better parenting, and a greater acceptance of temperamental diversity.
How dramatic is the effect of Ritalin on the children taking it?
Well, it depends. It can be quite dramatic, and I think this is why it is a very, very popular medication at this time. And children who heretofore have been unable to really focus on things that they don't like for the first time can sit still and then participate. And that for a 5 or 6 year old or even younger can be a very dramatic experience for the parent, more the parent. I think the child probably just experiences the fact that people aren't yelling at him as much.
Well, that can be a great thing, right?
Definitely. But if you ask that child, are they noticing anything, they'll say no. Most children will say, I don't feel anything one way or the other.
As you're talking about Ritalin, it just doesn't sound like such a bad thing. it sounds like it can do some real good.
Well, you know, people say, people wonder whether or not this book is an anti-Ritalin book. And I try to make it clear that Running on Ritalin is not an anti-Ritalin book. I think, though, that the book and what I'm getting at here is that the 700% increase in the use of the pill in this country, and really in this country alone, except for Canada, is telling us something about how we view children's problems. The fact that Ritalin works per se has been known for 50 years. What it tells us is at the moment we're tending to view our children's problems as a chemical imbalance, and I think that is a limited view. I think rather this should be viewed more as a living imbalance between what our children's brains can deliver and what's being expected from them and what the responses are from the environment.
It's interesting to me that you point out that 100 years ago, children had more options open to them if they did have trouble in school and couldn't pay attention. You could go back to helping on the farm, for instance, or you could work in the family store. And that's not so much the case today, that there's an increasing emphasis on academics in the school system, longer hours, more homework, less recess, year-round schooling, perhaps. Do you see all this as contributing to a ballooning use of drugs, of Ritalin and psychotropic drugs on children?
One could say there's an increasing intolerance for diversity of temperament and intelligence. And I think we'd have to go back a little bit more than 100 years because compulsory education began in the late 1890s. But once children were being asked to essentially sit for about 6 hours, a lot of those who might otherwise been successful in other cultures and other lives are now experiencing problems. That doesn't explain entirely the Ritalin phenomenon in our country, because there are countries that have compulsory education that don't have this rate of Ritalin use. But I do feel in the last 10 years or so, the push toward earlier education, more daycare for children, sort of educational paranoia that's going around that says, you know, if your child is not successful in third or fourth grade, that means he's not going to be able to attend the postgraduate school of his choice. And what will that mean about his future and his choices? Now, I think that kind of thinking, while existing prior to the last 10 or 15 years, has really, really taken off in the 1990s.
It also seems as if with the rise of two-career families and children entering daycare and structured environments at a younger and younger age, that we're asking kids to socialize a lot earlier than ever before. And maybe some are just not cut out for it. Or we're comparing kids at younger and younger ages. Do you think that's part of the picture also?
Yeah, I do. I would just say yes to that. That's not to say that a child at 3 might at 6 be discovered to be struggling in the first grade. But now with structured daycare, it's 3 where they're coming into the doctor and having potentially a lifelong label assigned to them of being ADD. And since the recommendations these days are increasingly for Ritalin for one's whole life, it's a little bit daunting as the doctor involved here to assign both the medication and the label to a 3-year-old.
Does that come up?
It comes up increasingly. I am a behavioral pediatrician, so even more than a child psychiatrist, I think about a quarter of my population is 6 and under 6.
So do you have patients who are on Ritalin who are 3 years old?
At the moment, probably not. Has that happened? Yes. And am I comfortable with that? No. I don't know about 3, but I would say close to 5, yes. And I'm not sure about a 3-year-old, but I would say close to 5. But there are examples now in the literature of children 2 years old taking this medication.
Since writing your book, have you been prescribing Ritalin less than before?
I would say probably not. I continue to feel that on an individual level that the medication may allow the child to perform better or help that person through the situation. What writing the book has done for me is allowed me to deal with my own ethical problems here. Ritalin allows a person to address that living imbalance in a more an easier fashion. But if I only prescribe Ritalin and I don't bring up to that family or to the larger society the factors of economic, social, cultural that are involved in this larger living imbalance, then I feel in just prescribing the Ritalin, I'm complicitous. I'm complicitous with those forces that I feel actually are bad for children and families. I think for me, the best outcomes, Barbara, and this is where I can talk about my own experience, has been where the primary interventions have been with the family, primarily the parents, and importantly with the school. Then Ritalin or its equivalent has been added, and the families will say that the Ritalin was helpful there. But what was more helpful was their getting clear about the kind of parenting that they had to deliver to their child. They almost also might add that the adaptations or accommodations in the school help the child in the early grades.
the people that I've talked to who have been diagnosed with ADD express it in some odd ways. They say, I am ADD, or they seem to have such relief in the diagnosis.
The thing that people forget is that ADD is a metaphor. It's a way of looking at the problem. And I think for some people who have been self-blaming themselves for years and years and years, that their inability to perform is a result of some moral failure, finding out that ADD, and then that's seen, let's say, as a neurobiological disorder that really is just their brain and nothing else, finding that out can be a tremendous burden that's lifted for them. At the same time, there's another group of people where that kind of message may not be that good. Now, by the way, I think even hearing it as a neurobiological disorder has a downside, which is it's immediately a disease. I think one could make the same statement about the person's behavior by saying, you know, this is your personality. This is your temperament that has good aspects to it that work for you and parts that don't work for you, particularly in the situations you find yourself in. And I know that we're in psychiatry these days tilted toward describing everything as disorder. But I do think that even if one acknowledges a biological component, which there certainly is a biological component to behavior, it doesn't have to be described in such a negative way.
Lawrence Diller is a behavioral pediatrician. His new book is Running on Ritalin.